Thank you, Jerry. That was lovely. Good morning. Make sure you check the box for extra credit today. A couple of things I want to tell you about that. Someone said to me, would you ever close the church on a Sunday morning for a snow day? And the answer is no, I would not, because I can get here. I live across the street. I also have a four-wheel drive truck. So if we cannot get here, then we would close church. But we can get here, so we will have church. But use your best judgment. If for you, it's not a good day to get out, like all of our friends that are missing today, don't come. But we'll have church. It may look a lot different. I would tell you, even if you have a job that Sunday, like the ushering or the soundboard or the, well, piano is harder, but whatever your job may be on that Sunday morning, if you can't get here safely, don't. Don't worry, we'll figure it out. Somebody else could light the candle if they had to. Somebody else could, we'll figure it out. So yes, we'll always be open on Sundays for snow. Now during the week activities, if you're not sure about that, you might check. That's a little different. But Sunday morning, I'll be here and I hope you will be too. Other announcements for you. After this service today, there is a town hall style meeting where you can come and ask questions about the proposed new administrative structure. And that'll be down in Barker Hall, and that's right after the service. And then at noon, there's a meeting for people who are going on the adult mission trip or who are interested. Then next Sunday, our district superintendent will be here. Hopefully the weather will be nice, to have a church conference on voting for all of the one board idea and what we may do with that and the slate of officers, because remember, we haven't done that yet. So there'll be a church conference next Sunday to do all of that. I think that's all I can think of at the moment. I left my paper over there. Oh, I know one that's kind of fun. Next Thursday is the men's pizza lunch, and the program is me. Right, Arthur? You look confused. Is that wrong? But everyone is invited. And the topic is, what's going on around here? And I'm going to talk about the new proposed board structure. And I'm going to talk about the denomination. And I'm going to talk about whatever else anybody wants to talk about. Fair enough? If you have questions about that, talk to Arthur. So that's at noon on Thursday down in Fraser. I forgot about that one. That's going to be fun. Pizza, so... I think that's all the announcements. Feel free if you see anything in the bulletin to ask me and we'll find answers for you. Take a moment to greet each other. Congratulate someone for getting here safely.
Good morning to you all. Our congregational introit is Immortal Invisible. We are doing verse 1 again this week since we've gotten through all four. So we're going to do verse 1. Once we're done with that, please stay standing for the call to worship and for our opening hymn. Most blessed, most glorious, the
Please join me in the call to worship. We see Elijah calling on the name of God, responding to the forces of evil with an appeal to a higher power. May we be people of faith. We see Elijah caring for the most vulnerable, offering bread to the widow and healing touch to her child. We see Elijah speaking truth to power, daring to deliver words of judgment to the king. We see Elijah ascend in the whirlwind, offering the promise of the still unfolding future. And our hymn is, I Sing the Almighty Power of God.
And I invite any other kids who might be here. Come on up as Walker runs up here. Okay. Hey, guys. It's been a snowy week, hasn't it? We've had a lot of snow. Well, look, I brought a song to play for you guys. You guys want to hear my song? So while we listen to this song, I want you guys to really listen to the words and see if you can pick out a couple of words that might mean something to you. Okay? It would have made a little bit more sense. Here we go. So here's my song, you guys. Okay, have you guys ever heard that song before? It's a pretty famous song. You might have heard it before. Sometimes it's on the radio. We've had it sung in church here before. Did you guys hear any of the words that were in there? What did they say? Could you hear any of those words? What words do they use? So who do you think they're singing about? God. They were singing about God. We did hear them say the word God a couple of times. Did you hear the word they used to describe God? Did you hear it? They used the word awesome. Do you guys know what the word awesome means? It's a hard one to explain. I'm one who uses the word awesome a lot, probably way more than I should, right? But when you use the word awesome, it's way bigger than saying this pizza is awesome or this movie was awesome. Awesome, when we refer to God, means something that just makes us stare and say, wow. Have you ever seen something that just made you look at it and say, wow? You know, last week when I was driving to work after the snow and the sky was really blue and the mountains were really white and the snow was all sparkly, that made me say, wow, that was pretty awesome. I went camping last summer on a really clear night and we got to see a meteor shower. So we saw all kinds of shooting stars. The sky was so clear, I saw hundreds and hundreds of stars and even shooting stars. Again, that was something that made me say, wow. Have you guys ever seen something like that that just made you say, wow, this is truly amazing? Yeah, so what do you think it means when we say that God is awesome? What do you think that means, our awesome God? It means that God is so big that everything he does for us and all the things that he's made for us and gives us, are those all things that make us say, wow, right? Have you ever thought of that? Yeah, just if today when the snow clears up and you see the mountains, I bet you'll say, wow. And you'll think of how awesome God is and all that he's created. So that's what our song was about, was called Awesome God. It also said, he reigns in heaven above with power, wisdom, and love. Are those all the things that we think about with God? Yeah, so this week I want you guys to look out and see all the things that make you say, wow. And think about how awesome our God is. How he does. He reigns with love. Is his love pretty awesome? It's big, right? He reigns with power. Is the power of God pretty awesome? Yeah, look what he can do for us. And wisdom, right? God's wisdom is pretty awesome too. So you guys think about all those things that make you say wow this week and think about God. Can we say a prayer? Say, hey, God, you are pretty awesome. Help us to remember to stop and say, wow.
To stop and say, wow.
We love you, God.
Love you, God.
Thanks for loving us. Amen.
Is it cooking day? I can always tell when the kids are going to go downstairs and cook because they are out of here fast. So, anybody else want to go? There's not that many of us. Wouldn't that just shock Larissa if we all just go down there instead? I want to thank Jerry. I've been welcoming different people to the organ bench, and that we don't have an organist today, and that means Jerry is doing all of the whole thing. And thank you very much for doing that. We appreciate it. We are always blessed to have you share your gifts with us, but when it's the whole thing, that's more. Let's go to God in prayer this snowy day. Gracious and loving God, we come. We come to this place this morning, even though it was hard to get here, even though those blankets seemed a little extra cozy and that coffee pot looked more inviting, we came. We came to this place to come together, to support one another, to offer each other fellowship and care, a warm smile, a place of knowing that we can connect. It was hard this morning to slog our way over to the church, and yet we came. We came so that we could offer our praises to you, so we could join our voices in song, and that we could come together as you ask us to worship you. We know that many of our number could not be here this morning because the ice and snow is too difficult or treacherous for them. We know that others couldn't be here this morning because of things happening in their own life outside of the storm. We ask that you would pour out your love and your grace on each of them, each person that seeks you. For those of us who this morning are here, help us to open our hearts to hear the word that you would give us today. Help us to reach to those who we haven't seen for a while. And Lord, we pray for each person in this world who seeks, who seeks answers and comfort and love. We remember that you are an awesome God. An awesome God who gives us so many things in this world, in this life. Filled with majesty and love, we remember. We remember the gift of your Son and the prayer that he taught us as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We continue our prayer time as we sing our mountain hymn. I invite you to join in singing In Christ There Is No East or West, and we'll not be following the hymn tune, so just sing this tune, you'll know it. Heritage hymn, not our mountain hymn. We already had the mountains earlier today. We are sticking with that, even though we've celebrated the 60th. We're going to do heritage hymns for a few more weeks because it's kind of fun to see what was important to people in 1960. So we'll continue to do that. It's time to receive the offering, and as the ushers come forward to receive that offering, I encourage you to pray about how you can commit and be supportive of this church.
Righteous and holy in all of your ways, we come before you with honor and praise, here to adore you for all of our days. We come before you with honor and praise. Lord of the heavens, how faithful you are. Shine down with honor and praise. righteous and holy in all of your ways. We come before you with honor and
come to offer our honor and our praise, O God. We do that by returning these gifts to you, and we ask that you would bless them. Amen.
You may be seated. Please join me in the scriptural meditation. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. From 1 Kings, chapter 18, verses 18 through 21. Elijah answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you have, and your father's house, because you have forgotten the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baals. Now therefore, have all Israel assemble for me at Mount Carmel with the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent to all the Israelites and assembled the prophets at Mount Carmel. Elijah then came near to all the people and said, how long will you go limping from two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. The people did not answer him a word. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
My name shall be great.
Thank you, Cor. You know, this has nothing to do with the sermon, but I just want to share with you. You know, last Sunday we had the big celebration, and there were lots of people here, and we had all kinds of amazing and special music, and whoa, it was a big deal. And then today we just have all of you wonderful and amazing people, and just kind of regular music. But you know, aren't we a blessed congregation that even on a regular Sunday, thank you all. Thank you, Steve and choir and Jerry. I just wanted to say, wow. Because sometimes we go, oh, after the celebration, it's sort of, meh, you know. It's like the Sunday after, whatever. But no, we are blessed that you all bring us such a gift every Sunday. And thank you for that. That was my little advertisement to the side. But it's wonderful. We're going back to the mountains today. We did a couple of weeks of mountains, and then we took time off for the bishop, and now we're back to mountains. And today's mountain is Mount Carmel, and that's actually small and a chain, not just a mountain, and maybe more like, I don't know how to describe, you know, outside of Golden, the kind of, that kind of look, maybe, so small. So don't worry when you hear that Elijah had all the people come up there. It was not a trek. It was just go up the hill a little bit, so it wasn't a big deal. This story is one of my favorites to share, and the reason I had Joanne just read that little segment that you're all thinking, what is that about, was because I love to tell this story, and so I wanted to do that. And one of the reasons that I love to tell this story is it's not very boring. And I love this when middle school kids are the worst for this. They'll come to me and they'll say, I don't really like reading the Bible because it's boring. It's boring. And you know they're right. There are some parts, especially if you're a middle schooler, that are boring. There are some parts, if you're an adult, that are boring. But if you're a middle schooler, you don't want to read those begats because you don't even want to think about what that might mean. If you're a middle schooler, all of the laws that are laid down, say, in Leviticus, that's pretty boring. Paul isn't necessarily boring, but Paul can be a little confusing. I wouldn't just say for middle schoolers. How many of you have ever been confused by what Paul is trying to tell us? Exactly, many of us have. But there are some exciting and fun stories in the scripture, and this is one of them. I gave you the kind of boring part, but it wasn't really boring if you listened closely. This is one of the stories of Elijah, and I love Elijah. And it hit me earlier in this week. I have never done a sermon series on all the stories of Elijah, and maybe down the road here we'll do that because it would be fascinating. He has great stories all about who he was as a prophet. A man called by God to tell the rest of the world what God would have them do. So by now, we've gotten to this part of the story, though, and lots of things have happened, including with the king, King Ahab. Isn't that great, King Ahab? I think that the writer of the Bible stole that from Moby Dick. No, I really don't think. I don't really think that. Don't write me letters and straighten me up. No. So King Ahab and Elijah go way back, and they've been fighting for a long time because Elijah told Ahab, it will not rain on these lands again until my God makes it so. And he was right. So for 3 years, they've had a drought. 3 years. So you can see why there might be some fighting between the two of them. So that's all going on. And then Elijah tells Obadiah, who's also in the story, could you go tell Ahab I want to see him? I'm coming his way. And Obadiah says, absolutely not. I will not tell him. He'll kill me. Obadiah works for King Ahab, but he believes in God. So he's done things like hide prophets in the mountains and caves and feed them. And so he doesn't really want to egg him on anymore. He thinks that his job will be taken away at best or he'll be killed. So all that's happening, and Elijah says, you got to go see him. But before he even gets to do that, Ahab comes down and says, now what, you troublemaker? And that's where you pick up the story. Elijah says, I'm not a troublemaker. You are. It is down. It's happening. And Elijah says, let's prove this. Let's prove this once and for all. Let's stop this because my people aren't following God and God is not pleased. Because the people, oh, those people, they believe in God. They believe in the same God that we believe in. They follow the same God we follow most of the time. Unlike us. Unlike us who follow God all the moments of our lives, every breath we take is God-centered, they didn't do so good. You don't either, I know this for a fact. But they kind of had a big problem because there was God that we follow and they tried. But then there was also God Baal or Baal. Both pronunciations are correct. And they followed him sometimes because these people were agrarian and they planted crops and they wanted them to grow and bring forth fruits. And you do whatever you can. Any of you who have ever been involved with farming know you pray a lot to make sure it happens. And so they were told if you follow Baal, you'll have a plentiful crop. So they did sometimes. They did sometimes. So sometimes they were following Baal, and sometimes they were following God. And Elijah says, this has got to stop. You cannot stand in the middle of the road anymore. You cannot stand in the middle of the road. You know what happens when you stand in the middle of the road? You get run over, exactly. And he says, it's time to stop. You've got to make up your mind, and I'm going to help you do that. So everybody come on up to the mountain. Let's everybody come up there where God is. We've already talked about that in many different weeks, that God is up there in the mountain somewhere. So you all come up and watch this. And you people who follow Baal, 450 prophets versus me, the only standing prophet of God anymore, one versus 450, what do you think? And they said, great, good plan, odds are on our side, we got this. What's the challenge? What are you challenging us to, Elijah? And he said, easy. We're going to make a sacrifice to our gods. So bring two bulls. So they bring the bulls up, and they're feeling pretty good about this. They've got 450 to one, and they know that Baal will hear their pleas and take their sacrifice. Sounds good. Too good to be true, right? He says, you guys go first. It's always good to challenge somebody else to go first, right? Because then you can figure out and learn from their mistakes. So you go first. All right. So the 450 prophets come over here, and they build up a big pile of wood. Big pile. And they chop up the bull and put him on top of that big pile of wood. And they get ready to light the fire. And Elijah says, oh, wait, there's one more thing I forgot to tell you. You can't put the fire. You've got to have your God bring the fire down. Mm-hmm. Exactly. We can do that. We're strong. So they start praying sometime in the morning. They keep praying and praying, bring down fire. Show this guy up. Show him who you are. Light this fire. About lunchtime, it's still cold. And Elijah says, you know your problem. You may have 450 people, but you're not using your full voice. You need to be louder. Be louder. So they start shouting to their God, rain down fire, make this light, do something. Nothing still. As it starts to get dark, Elijah says, you know, you guys keep trying, but I think it's my turn and my God's time. So he comes over and he says, in all your tramping around, you've messed up my altar. I'm going to have to start over again. So he takes 12 rocks. One rock representing each of the 12 tribes of Israel, and lays them out in a square. And then outside of the 12 rocks, he digs a trench. And in the middle, he piles the wood. And on top of the wood, he puts the offering of the bull. And he says, hey, you guys don't look that busy over there with all your shouting. Could you help me out? Could you go get some buckets of water to pour on this? They laugh and they say, he really doesn't know what he's talking about. You don't pour water on wood if you want to light it. We all know that. Sure, we'll help you, Elijah. And they go and they get the water and they pour it on the wood, dousing it. And Elijah looks at it and he says, no, that's not enough. Go get more. And so they keep bringing water and they pour the water on the wood. They pour so much water that the trough all the way around the edge fills up. The thing is soaked. There's no way we're going to light that on fire. I can just see those 450 saying, well, we might not have got our fire lit, but there's no way you are either. So Elijah, in a calm voice, says, God, here's the sacrifice to you. Please send fire. Oh, a lot of fire rains down. The whole thing goes up in flames. It's exciting. Not only does the bull burn and the wood burn, but the rocks are consumed and the water, the whole thing gone. Yeah, our God wins. in a strong and powerful way. There is no question which God is better, at least when it comes to fire starting. Now, Elijah's point to the people was, pick. Do you want to be people of a God who can't even light a fire? Or do you want to be the people of this God who can do powerful and mighty things? Which do you want to be a people of? Which do you want to be a people of, Mountain View? The God that can do powerful and mighty things. Or not. Which do you want to be? This story is a great story, and I love it because it's exciting, isn't it? It's exciting. But it's not just an exciting story. It teaches us. It tells us something, and it tells us a lot about Elijah. I'd like to look at him for a minute. It tells us something about the character of Elijah, something about who he was. Elijah wasn't perfect. If you've read any of his stories, you'll know that. There are times when he says, what? Who? Me? That can't be right. What are you talking about, God? And he questions. And I know that some of you have questioned too. But God still uses and chooses him to be a prophet, even when he's just a regular person. Even then. But it was because of his character and his beliefs in God. Have you checked in on your own character lately? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands to see who has good character. And I'm not going to ask you to turn to your neighbor to ask them if they think you have good character. Particularly those of you who came with your spouse, we're definitely not doing that to you. But did you check lately on your character? Have you checked that? Have you understood your own character? How do you do it? How do you do that? Well, it's pretty easy, actually. You don't ask those around you. You just ask God. You just ask God. Go to God in prayer and say, hey, God, shine some light here. Help me to understand. Help me to understand how I've been doing and who I am. Shine some light on those dark places, the places that I haven't measured up. Help me to see. Just ask. Now, often we go to God in prayer. We go to God and we tell God a lot of things. We pray a stream, but we forget the other part of it, to stop and listen and hear, to be in prayer with God, not to God. Have you done that lately? Have you just checked in to see what God's thinking about you, who you are and how you're doing? Because God has a mission and a role for every one of you. Based on who you are, who you truly are, not who the rest of us think you are. The other thing that we learn about Elijah in this story is he was a man of great confidence. He takes on the king who could put him to death. Now, I don't know if he was afraid or not, but I like to think so, because that would be common sense, wouldn't it? To be afraid of a king who could do awful things to you. Having confidence doesn't necessarily mean we don't have fear. Have you ever had to stand up and talk to people when you didn't really want to, when you were afraid to, when your message that you were bringing was difficult or hard? Have you ever had to find a confidence within yourself that you didn't know you had? Have you ever had to do that? Or have you ever rejected sharing a message because you didn't want to? It became paralyzing. Your confidence couldn't get to that level. Well, this isn't the kind of confidence that people look at and go, she's so show-offy. Or look at him, who does he think he is? This is the kind of confidence that comes from within. And guess where you find it again? In prayer with God. Give me the strength, God, to make a difference. Give me the strength to do those things I should do. This past week, we had an interesting time. I thought it was interesting anyway. A reporter from the Boulder Weekly came to interview some people of this church about becoming a reconciling congregation. And one of the things that fascinated me is the history of this church unfolded, and as we talked about what that was like, the reporter said, why did you do this? Why did you do this? And Elizabeth Kaufman said, because it was the right thing. And she and others, Bruce leading that group and other people, said, and Connie's back there, it's important to do the right thing. Why are we doing this? Because it's the right thing to do. And they stood up, and sometimes it wasn't easy, but they had confidence in what was right and talked about it, even though sometimes people weren't happy with them. Why? Because they're amazing and awesome people? Well, yes, but no. Because they knew it was the right thing, and they had confidence in doing that which was right. Because God will give you that confidence when it's time to stand up and do something hard and difficult. There's the third part of this story, and this part, it's that standing in that road and getting run over. What is Elijah asking the people to do? Commit. Make up your mind. Pick a God. Now, we know who he wanted them to follow, but pick. Commit to something. And the more I thought about it, I thought, yes, committing is what this is about. Commit to, this is my God, and I will follow God. Here's a quiz for you. How many of you remember what, back in November, think back to November, how many of you remember what the slogan was for stewardship? It's 2020, that helps you. There you go, the envision the best mountain view. Does that ring a bell now? Envision the best mountain view. I think that we need to say that this year, time or two, not just because it was a catchy slogan, obviously not very catchy, but it's true, isn't it, here in 2020? How can we be the best mountain view? By committing to it, that's how. Back in October, we were talking about your financial commitment, and that's very important. But there are other ways to commit to the church, to commit to this place and all we do. What does that look like for you? How can you commit to Mountain View? Guess how you figure it out? Prayer with God again. Prayer with God. Ask. Maybe you have some idea of things that we should be doing. Some examples that have happened just recently. Someone came to me and said, we need some small groups for fun just so people can meet each other. Great, and they got together a couple other people, and many of you have now signed up for the Just for Fun groups. And those are kicking off, and that's great, because somebody just thought that would be a fun thing to do. I've had people say, you know, we haven't had an adult mission trip from this church for a long time. Oh, we support Bump, but maybe we should have a trip. Okay, and we did. We are. There are all kinds of ideas that you have on how we can be the best Mountain View. Does it matter if we're the best Mountain View? We're not saying we're going to be the best church, because that starts to sound a little braggish, doesn't it? We're going to be the best that we can be in this place, and should we be? Yes. Yes, we should be the best Mountain View, not just in 2020, but beyond. Building on all the amazing and wonderful things we've already done, but committing to this place to do more things, not just here in our walls, but out there in the community and in the world. We need to be committed to this place. And that's what Elijah's saying, isn't it? Because Elijah was committed to that which God put on his heart, he was able to lead people, and he pleased God. We know that he pleased God because Elijah is only one of two people that was taken up to heaven. He's the swing low guy. The chariot came and swung low and took him right to heaven without dying. I want God to be pleased with me. Not that I think that will happen in my life, but because it's the right thing to do. Because I'm committed to being here. I'm excited to be here with you, Mountain View. I'm excited to see who we're going to be and what our best looks like. I'm always a little nervous when I tell the story and say the fire rained down and the fire was big, because what if that really happened? What if when I did that, the chancel burst into flames? You'd all be believers then, wouldn't you? I would too. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. I haven't ever seen anything like that. Most of us have not, but we've experienced God. And our job as church is to commit here and to make things like that happen. Not really catching the chancel on fire, but that fiery spirit lives in this place. I see it in all of you. I see things happening all the time. So when we ask to call down the fire, we don't literally mean a fire, but can't we commit to being the best Mountain View by raining down God's fire on us? Not in some fire and brimstone and scary way, but in a powerful way. A way that says, yes, Spirit, we want you here and we are committed because of all the things that we can do, all the ways we can make a difference. Bring it on. We, God, are excited to be your committed followers. Amen. I invite you to stand and sing our closing hymn, which is Majesty. Worship God's majesty. Worshiping His Majesty, committing fully. Go in peace. Amen.